We're so glad you're here this morning. We're in for a treat. We've got Philip and Judith Staggs, that's a hard name to remember, here with us this morning. And Philip's going to be teaching Sunday school and also service, the sermon during the service. Let me tell you a little bit about Philip. He's been a full-time minister in Florida, Kentucky, and Tennessee, and Alabama. For many years, and then he became an internet sales manager, selling insurance and a few things else, and he's decided now that he wants to become a full-time minister. During the time he was an internet sales manager and all, he had filled in for places, and so we're glad to have Philip this morning to teach our Sunday school. Philip? And by the way, thank you for coming, Judith, and bringing him, okay?
Good morning. Good to see everybody's here this morning. We're so glad you've come. My wife and I, Judith, we've been looking forward to this time and coming and being with you. And if you have a Bible this morning, may I go ahead and be opening, go ahead and ask you to open your Bible to the book of Mark this morning. That's where we will find our opening place. And as you're turning over there, I'd like to just make a few quick comments so you understand. One of your elders has my last name. I ain't never met him before in my life. But the interesting thing is, when you look and you tell me where his family came from in Kentucky, guess where my family came from? Same area. And what is really weird this morning is, my wife evidently is kin to your preacher. So go figure that one. God has a way of working that stuff out, Mike, I'll tell you. But we're so glad you've come. And as we study together, this is a lesson that I take a lot of places that I'm asked to preach. And so I've done some changing, updating, but it's still as imperative now that we do these things as it was when the Lord first commissioned it. So as we begin this morning, I just want to go to our Father in prayer, and then we're going to get into class together. So let's pray together. Our good Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we could be here this morning and study from your word. We're so thankful that we have this opportunity to be in the safety and comfort of this building. We're thankful, Father, for Jesus. We're thankful, Father, that you've given us the Great Commission and the wherewithal to carry it out into all the world. Father, we pray that as we look at these things together, you will help us, you will guide us, you will guard us, help us to speak your truth, certainly to speak it in love, but always to speak your truth, Father. Please forgive us for any sins that we may have committed. And as we talk together this morning, Father, please help us to open our minds and our hearts to these things and help us be willing to do them, but also to share these things with others. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible this morning and want to go over to Mark again, we certainly are going to be there. Let me see if I can figure this one out now. Maybe not. Aha. So if you look up here with me this morning, we're going to be going to chapter 16 of Mark, and we're going to read there together in just one moment. Several years ago, I found this poem, and it wasn't really a poem. It was about a group of people or a company. I don't know if you like Apple. I don't know if you know who Steve Jobs is, but I do like what he wrote and what he stated. He said these words. He said, here's to the crazy ones, to the rebels, to the misfits, to the round pegs in the square holes. They're not fond of rules, and they have absolutely no respect for the status quo. You could quote them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward where others may see them as the crazy ones. We see genius. Because after all, The people who are crazy enough to believe they can change the world are always the ones who do. I did not think of Apple and its genius. I'm an Apple guy. I do voice work. You might notice that I have the voice for radio, not the face for television. I do voice work, and I understand that Steve Jobs makes a great computer for that. But I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, nothing is as important as what we're looking at this morning. If you have your Bible and we look together here in this text, we're going to read beginning there in verse 15. Here the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, and the rest of the things there. Here we have these common men who are told to go into all the world, just like you and I are. And as we think about that, let's think about the New Testament period. Ladies and gentlemen, some of these things might come up a little goofy. I hope you'll ignore me or ignore that. But if you're taking notes, start right here. Go to the book of Acts in the second chapter. As you turn over there, we certainly see the phenomenal growth of the New Testament church. And here in the book of Acts, as the gospel is preached for the first time, here in this text, in verse chapter 2, verse number 37, it says, now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Go a little bit further, it says in verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Go to verse 47. There we read, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved, or who we know, you and I, when we obey the gospel, we're added to the church. What a passage of Scripture. Something else as you look up here. If you go over to Acts 4, just notice the growth of the church. We have in Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 4, we see here in this text that we had these men mentioned here, 5,000. I don't know if you know where I worship now. I worship in Spring Hill. The kids from the orphanage come there to worship every Sunday. Of the last 3 months, let me share something with you. Last 3 months, there have been 17 baptisms. Thank God for that. But 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night, 5 young men obeyed the gospel and were baptized. Isn't that something? I haven't seen that in years. I mean, years ago in Nashville, there was this big meeting held. And remember, you might remember the number. It was 23 people were obedient to the gospel then. In Spring Hill, these kids keep obeying the gospel. And you know what? They're always there. They're always there. They're in Bible study. They're interested. Now, their lives are broken. They need the gospel just like us. But what a good thing we get involved in. We are helping these young people, whether there or maybe Potter's Home. I think you guys support Potter's Home, don't you? Okay, good. I like that. We should be. Well, look at this next number here. When you go to chapter 6 in the book of Acts, look at verse 7. It just simply says the disciples were multiplied. So we see the addition, we see the multiplication, we see the growth of the New Testament church. If you go to chapter 12, there you will read again, grew and multiplied the terms. Go to chapter 13, and if I push this forward, we see that the gospel spread out throughout all the region. When we started going into Guyana, there was one little church. One of my elders' name is Steve Donahue. Steve has MS, and he is dying. And he is a dear man. I love him with all my heart. But all Steve can do is be on the computer every day. That's it. And you know what he does? He records programs for churches all over the place. And he just started with another fellow who was over in Kenya, a church. He preaches every day to them. Started with one person. Guess what happened? 2 weeks, there were 20. This month, there's 50 all of whom have been baptized. All from the internet. Now that's amazing. But just like the phenomenal church growth here, we could still see that type of thing today. In chapter 19 in your Bibles, we see the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Ladies and gentlemen, when we think about what took place in just 30 years, if you go in your Bibles over to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verse number 5, we can read that the word of truth of the gospel, which was come to you as it has in all the world. And if you look in chapter 1, in verse number 23, we realize that Paul could say the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. Now, let me say something. Did they have planes to fly in? Did they have cars to drive in? No. Did they have boats as fast as ours? Not really. No trains. I'm told years ago, for ye Wallace used to travel in trains everywhere. Well, no trains. But they preached. And one of the most interesting things I think that I can share with you is simply this. We're going to want you to look here. There's no way the church grew that fast throughout the then known world with only Philip and Peter and Stephen and Paul and Barnabas and the other preachers preaching. In Acts 8, what happened? Anybody, what happened in Acts 8? There was persecution, wasn't there? And what did the church have to do? Do you remember? Anybody? Did they stay in one place or did they move on? They moved on, didn't they? Because they were persecuted. But what did they do when they moved? They went everywhere preaching. Say that with me. They went everywhere preaching the word. That's right. They went everywhere preaching the word. And we could do the same thing. And one of the amazing things I think sometimes, for me at least, is just to think about this. Even though the church went everywhere preaching the word, I have people today, and so do you, who will say this. Tom, has anybody ever said, you Church of Christ people, you're just strange. Anybody say anything to you like that? I mean, you don't have an instrument, man, right? People think of you as strange. But you're not alone. In our Bibles again, in your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As you turn over there, this is one of my favorite texts, by the way. Let's look at verse 24 and verse 25. In fact, I'll let you cheat. There we go. It says here, for since in the wisdom of God, the word through wisdom did not, world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews requested a sign and Greeks did after wisdom. But we, Christ crucified, to the Jew, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, we are not alone. The same gospel of yesterday that's preached today, people are still called by the gospel. When we think about the gospel, we know Romans 1 verse 16 reminds us it is the power of God unto salvation. When we think about what Timothy was supposed to preach, he went out and preached the word of God. The word still saves people. I'm 55. And if you tell me I'm a baby, I'll love you forever. Thank you. My wife is not. That's all I'm saying. My wife is not. Best thing ever happened to me right here. She's put up with me preaching and teaching and traveling and at times being completely crazy. You know, preachers are. Don't shake your head. Yeah, preachers are, yeah. She's a good woman. when I was off saving the world, she was home with my kids. My oldest son preaches the gospel in Jacksonville, Florida. He's given us two girls and a little boy that shares my name. She's good. They can do anything with their poppy. I have a son who works here in Middle Tennessee in the medical field with doing things for people who don't have money, finding the medicines. That's what he does every day. What a good kid. And I have a young son who's at Freed right now, about this tall. He's going to be a doctor. Smartest kid I've ever known. And until I drove him to Freed last week, he had never asked his dad, in all the years I knew this kid, about the Bible and what I thought about it. I guess I got smart overnight. But he's now going, he wants to go on a medical missions trip to Virginia. I'm going to tell you, that's not always their dad. That's their mom. And you guys, I hope you'll say for yourself, because you got to go home with somebody, amen? The mamas take care of these kids. And so I don't want anyone ever to think otherwise in my life. I'll just tell you, the church went everywhere preaching the gospel when it was persecuted. And as we're going to make some comments this morning, we may have to do the same someday. We may. Our job isn't to have results. Our job is just to go. And when we think about that, here's where it gets personal. So put your thinking caps on and let's talk about this. What can I do today to take the gospel to someone in the world? Now, I'm going to give you a list if you're taking notes, and I have another list here in just a moment. So let's just start with this. When we think about taking the gospel to the world, do you know what the number one reason people obey the gospel today is? Someone invited them, brother. 79% of all people who obeyed the gospel today were invited by somebody just like you, or you, and me. That's why they do. They came to a service, and they say, they heard people like Brother Mike, who's, how many years you preach? A few years. Yeah. And Mike preached, somebody else taught a class, they obeyed the gospel. That's how it works. Somebody plants, somebody waters, they obey. Now, I always say this, and I know you're going somewhere else, and I'd love to hear you preach. But let me say, I know Brother Mike is going somewhere else, but his influence will be here on this church for years. And in your lives, and the people he's taught, and in the people they teach, how do I know that? Because when I obeyed the gospel at 10 years old, the first preacher I heard is still inside of my thinking. You and I can have an influence. Make a list. Now, let me make a suggestion. Let me see a show of hands. Does anybody in this room know somebody who left the church during all this COVID stuff? I do, right? Here's what you do. Well, I'm getting myself in trouble if you choose me, but here's what you do. Make a list, and the second or third day you have your new preacher here, you take to him that list and say, hey, brother, how's it going? You move into your office, everything going good? Here. Go meet these people. And if he's worth his salt, he'll be out. And we have to do that. Don't let these people fall by the wayside. Let me give you an example of something. Anybody in this room know who Clint Eastwood is? Yeah, I love Clint Eastwood. Do you? Most men do. Your wife may not. My wife hates him. In California, there's a couple who own a restaurant on a hillside looking the ocean. Well, Clint Eastwood loves his restaurant, but you know what they do with every plate? He's a world-famous chef. Every time they send a plate out, they send a track with it. Now, Clint noticed something. Clint noticed that he never got a track. So he approached Mike, who was the owner of that place. Mike, do you think I'm such a bad guy? I wouldn't want to know about the gospel of Christ? And so Mike said, well, here. You know, Mike has studied the Bible with Clint Eastwood. Isn't that cool? My brothers and sisters were living in the 60s. They're much. My oldest brother is 18 years older than me. My next brother's 17 years older than me, and my sister's 13 years older than me. So they grew up in the late 60s. What did we have in the late 60s? Hippies. You ever stand close to a hippie? They didn't smell too good. My dad hated hippies. Did you notice here's something, and I don't want to be condemning to anyone. I'm going to say this because I believe it and I think there's evidence to prove it. We lost a generation of young people because we were too stubborn to take them a gospel and to put them on our list. Don't leave anyone off that list. And if anyone's fallen away due to sin in their life, please don't leave your brother or sister bleeding and wounded on the side of the road. Some of you know what that's like because you've been other places. You grew up other places. You've seen people who's been that way. Make a list. Number two, when you look up here, contact every visitor. Do you guys do that? I bet you do here, don't you? One of the things we've noticed, the last two places my wife and I have gone to preach, I preach, she sits there. I go and she goes with me, is that they'll send us on Monday, the Sunday after we've been there, a letter thanking us for being there. Isn't that good? That's the way it should be. My time's going quickly. Home Bible studies. Always have your Bibles open in your home. Invite people in to study. Show hospitality. I want to read a couple of these verses. Does anybody like to read in class? Can I ask somebody to do this? Or you don't have to. Let's go to Romans 12 together and look at verse 1. Mike, I would put you on the spot, brother, but I know you'd do it, so I'm just going to read it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We have a life that we are supposed to live that is completely, entirely, totally dedicated to the Lord. Hebrews 13, verses 1, 2, and 3 reminds us of this entertaining angels unaware. Now, we're not going to go over the doctrine of that and what that might mean, but we do know this. Every time you have somebody visit, and I want to go out to eat with you this morning, don't take this the wrong way, invite them instead of me. Invite the visitor to go out to eat with you. Take time to have them in your home. It makes a difference in the lives of people. Also, talk to every visitor. And what do I mean by that? I stood back here in the back. Brother, I apologize to you. I forgot your name. Okay? He and I talked for a long time. He's just a good guy. I love talking to him. But you know what? When you have a visitor come in, go to them. That makes a difference. People will start talking about the Neely's Men Church family as being a loving, open congregation where you feel at home when you go there. I have been working as an internet director for a number of years, and this is what I've learned. I run websites for companies and for people. Who's on Facebook? Anybody? Yeah, you like it? I think it's a good source to evangelize on. But, you know, most young kids, my son's age, over at Freed, yes. Amen. I like it. I am too. Over at Freed, those young kids say that place is for old people. I hate to be called old, but I love Facebook. It's a good platform. It's easy to use. And what I teach people is simply this. The rule of thumb, from the, I am certifiable, I can't even say that, but I am certified in this. It doesn't mean I'm an expert, you probably know more than me, but let me suggest two things. One, make sure you post at least once or twice a day. If you go to three, people aren't going to listen. If you have young people and you have a VBS, show the VBS. We did a really neat thing this year. We made it have lightning in the sky. So we got these lights and we put these fluffy clouds and turned the lights off. The kids loved it because this blue light went down the hall where they were going to class. They loved it. Last year, my wife made this huge boat the size of the entire pulpit area and painted that thing, and now she's in trouble because she said, don't tell people I do that. But it made it on Facebook. People said they liked this stuff. You know, that's it. So post your lessons, post the things you're doing, post encouragement passages. All of those things are important. My son went to college with a young man whose family were completely against the church, period. They didn't know what the Church of Christ was anyway. Church, period. When they said it, they meant denomination. They were in Egypt. Kids started getting things off of Facebook. Guess what happened? He tried to disprove it. 2 months of trying to disprove it, he came to believe that Jesus was truly the Messiah. Called America, asked the church that he'd been studying with what he needs to do to be saved, and he told them, they said, well, what do you think? Well, I need to be baptized now. Two guys flew over to Egypt. He was baptized. Family disowned him. He came back to this country to study Bible. And he's back in Egypt, and I don't know where he is, preaching the gospel. That's where that goes. You never know. You guys have a wonderful website, by the way. I love it. It's really useful. Got a lot of great things on there. YouTube. Make sure you have a YouTube channel. One of the things I told you earlier, I have the face for radio. You might want to consider in the near future recording, videotaping your sermons. No offense, brother. I know that means more on you. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Because people do like to see what's going on. Twitter. Somebody says this to me. They said, Phil, let's talk about politics for a minute. There was an exodus of Churches of Christ from Twitter because of what happened in the election. Do you know how many Churches of Christ are left? Very few. My job isn't to be political. I'll tell you, I'm conservative. But you'll never hear me say that again. You know why? Like Paul, I have to be all things to all people. I got to preach the gospel. I want people to go to heaven. I don't care what you think about my political views. But here's what I know. Creve Hall is the only successful church on Twitter at this time. And they're in Middle Tennessee. Now, there are some others that are there, but they're just not very active. Please don't let your political views cloud your biblical insight. If God says it, do it, okay? We can go to Twitter and use it. And so it really bothers me what I see happening there. Pinterest, ladies, anybody on Pinterest that's a woman? Now, everybody tells me, sister, that it is, it's either for women or same-sex-oriented individuals. I'm neither, but I'm on it, so look me up, okay? It is a good medium. You can post lessons on there, audio and video. Do it. Something, by the way, ladies, you can do. All right? We got Snapchat, and the most popular one today, which everybody doesn't want to get on, is TikTok. Who owns TikTok, if I asked you? Do you know? China, Chinese government. Chinese government owns TikTok. But it's one of the easiest mediums we have, and there are more churches on TikTok right now that are successfully teaching people than any other place. Now, they can have my information. I'm going to TikTok. My job is to go. Somebody else can make the decision if they're going to obey. All of these things we may not think we can do, but I'm telling you, folks, do you have a younger person in this church building? What's the youngest high school age you got? You have a high school age kid? Okay. She a Christian? Or is she a Christian? Okay. You know what I tell churches all the time in Alabama when I've been there? Okay. Elders, you may not know how to do this. Get one of the young men who have obeyed the gospel and say, here. And they'll jump on that, and they'll be involved. In a few years, they're going to be a deacon because they're going to get married, and you done started them down the right road so that they can be an elder. Well, folks, my time, I know, is gone, I believe. Do I have any more time? Okay. Someone says, Brother Staggs, don't you know that the internet is a dark, dark place? I had a preacher from Arkansas tell me when we were in Alabama, I look at pornography every day to see what's on there. What? You don't need to do that. No. Take that darkness and shine some light. Let's read this together. I'll read it looking up here. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Last thing I want to say today. Here's another list, and if you take a few moments to do this, I'd greatly appreciate it. There's some good things here, ladies, that you can get involved in as well. The last thing is number 7. My kids played football and baseball. Anybody's kids play ball? Anybody go to high school games around here? I love it. I'll be there with you. I love it. My favorite thing is to watch high school kids play ball. They are not getting paid for it. They're not snotty yet, are they? They do it because they love it. One of the things we can do is we set up a little stand outside the stadium and we hand out Bibles and tracts and we put a little thing there for our kids where they can come up. I don't know if you want to have them bob for apples, do face painting, or just have a little Bible story for them like you should. Do that. It works, folks. Last thing. Let's see if I can illustrate something. I thought about this a lot. Advertisers spend millions of dollars and millions of hours trying to come up with a way to get us to remember their product. So, here's an example. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, right? With that insurance, you can go out and play sports and just do it. After you're done, you'll probably be hungry, so you can make a run for the border and have a taco. But if that's not your thing, you can go to Dunkin' because America runs on Dunkin'. And it is there that they will ask you what's in your wallet. Every one of those things you guys know, don't you? Every one of them. Wouldn't it be nice if people knew? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The plan of salvation, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Wouldn't it be nice if they knew that there is a church that Jesus purchased with his own blood, and he said, upon this rock I will build my church. He wasn't talking about Peter being the first pope. And he did. You're a member of it. Ladies and gentlemen, my dear beloved, you can do this, but you got to get out and go. You got to use social media today, and you never stop trying. Someday, we are all going to sit down to a banquet of consequences done in this life, wherein we will give an answer for what we've done, whether good or bad. Because I want you to realize something, in my thinking at least. I'm a simple guy. Folks, if I miss heaven, if you miss heaven, if we miss heaven, we missed all there really is. And if our friends and neighbors do, that's on us. God help us. Thank you for being in class this morning. The hour is yours.